So klingt Weihnachten bei Rewe. Jetzt festlich sparen bei deinem Weihnachtseinkauf. Diese Woche bei Rewe Ferrero Rocher je 200 Gramm Packung nur 2,99 Euro. Außerdem Mionetto Prosecco Spumante Doc je 0,75 Liter Flasche nur 5,99 Euro. Festlich sparen bei Rewe. Dein Markt.
Welcome to Studios America. We have a lot to get to, but first a word from Ladder Life Insurance. If you're, you know, anything like me, you probably have a tendency to put things off until the very last minute. But the one thing in life you cannot really afford to wait on is setting up term coverage life insurance. Choose life insurance through Ladder today. Ladder is 100% digital. No doctors, no needles, no paperwork. When you apply for $3 million in coverage or less, just answer a few questions about your health in an application. You just need a few minutes and a phone to apply or a laptop. Ladder has smart algorithms. They're working in real time. You will find out if you're instantly approved. No hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. Get a full refund if you change your mind in the first 30 days. These policies are issued by insurers with long proven histories of paying claims. They're rated A and A+ by AM Best. So just go to ladderlife.com. Knock this out. Ladderlife.com/Stu. Ladderlife.com/Stu. See if you're instantly approved. LADDER life.com/Stu. Check it out today. Knock it off your list because you can't wait to the last minute to get life insurance. It's ladderlife.com/Stu.
Stu Does America.
Subscribe to the State of the Race podcast. You get it actually as part of the Stu Does America feed. Wherever you get your podcasts, it's free. The Stu Does America feed gets you the State of the Race podcast. Plus, you get free broadcast live on video as well at youtube.com/Stu Does America. That's where we've been doing these sort of like breaking news, big speech, big announcement, whatever's going on. Maybe when the VP pick comes out for Trump, we'll get on, we'll analyze it for you. Right on youtube.com/Stu Does America. Click the bell for notifications and we'll be there for you. Josh Jennings is going to be here with us here in a minute to help me mock the collapse of the Biden dynasty. We've got some secret letters between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden you're going to appreciate. But we're going to start by doing Biden's hold on power. The op-ed from City Journal, why is Biden hanging on? Is a really important kind of big picture question, right? Like how, why, what is happening to our country, but also to the Biden campaign? And part of the reason why he's hanging on is because not enough people have the balls to call him out publicly. You have some people, I think there's been six or seven publicly doing this. It's not a lot, frankly. Most have not. The media has fully turned publicly on him, but the actual representatives have not. Let me give you some examples here. Biden supporters on Capitol Hill strike back. This is part of this movement, and we talked about it yesterday, where all of a sudden the media coverage may be hesitating a little bit. Biden now kind of talking. He's up to like 70% in the prediction markets ratings for him to hang on to the actual nomination. And he's got big names coming out to support him. A squad member, Ayanna Pressley, a huge one from House Majority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, who told reporters, "I made clear publicly the day after the debate, I support Joe Biden. My position has not changed." Asked more than a half dozen follow-up questions, Jeffries repeatedly replied, same answer. So he's not going for it. Jan Schakowsky, who's a big progressive, she's on board with Biden. Ami Bera from California pretty forcefully laid out the case. He said of Biden, that's exactly what we need to see. Hank Johnson said, Biden is feeble physically, but is mentally strong. And when you get that sort of endorsement from the guy who thought an island was going to tip over, you know that means a lot. AOC and two other squad members sticking with Biden as he faces pressure in his reelection bid. We mentioned Ayanna Pressley already, but AOC is on board. Again, this is someone who's criticized Biden a bunch of times. Same thing with Ilhan Omar. Been very critical, for example, of his Israel stuff. What sort of giveaways are these people getting? What sort of promises are these people getting behind the scenes to get these? I mean, you know, AOC and Ilhan Omar have been some of the most critical people in Congress over Biden, and they're sticking with him. Like, it's super suspicious. Don't be surprised if some really big bills get pushed forward as we go forward if Biden does, God forbid, get reelected. Congressional Hispanic Caucus is also there. They throw their weight behind Joe Biden. Nanette Embarragon is there from California. Adriano Espelot. Again, it's amazing how many Congress people I've never even heard of. I mean, we talk about a lot of them. There's like 30 or 40 of them we actually discuss. And there's a bunch of people just collecting paychecks you never hear from. But anyway, they are making a big deal here with the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. And I will say, this is all big. You get the squad. He's got the Black Caucus. He's got the Hispanic Caucus. Are all the whitey representatives really going to say that Joe Biden has to go? Are they? I don't know. I don't think so. It could happen. He could have another big brain fart in public, and maybe that changes the way of the dynamic of this. But as of right now, he's building his wall to remain as the candidate, which is a good thing if you happen to be a fan of Donald Trump. Top Biden aide defends president's health during fiery White House briefing. I'd play this audio for you, but honestly, it's Corinne Jean-Pierre, and it kind of melts my brain a little bit. But she's now even getting questioned. This is about the Parkinson's doctor we discussed 2 days ago, I think, on the program. Bottom line here is that she has a terrible response to it. And she says, well, I can't discuss it because it's private. And the White House reporters are saying, what are you talking about? It's private. I'm reading it off a public document. I mean, look, Corinne Jean-Pierre, it's required for her for Biden to stay in power, for her to have a job. She's terrible at this, and there's no excuse as to why she still has this job. If someone else is the nominee, she's in big trouble, like unemployment line trouble. So we'll see how that goes. Governor Whitmer is shutting down the 2024 presidential talk. Now, look, she has a lot of ambitions. She wants to be president of the United States. She does not want to shake up the party, because if that happens and she tries to, you know, puff her chest out too much, you're going to see a situation where she's going to be apparatus is going to be angry at her for next time. She said when asked if she would consider becoming a candidate if Biden were to step down, she responded with a definitive no. Now, she's also terrible. None of these governors have good records. Gosh, Gavin Newsom's terrible. Whitmer has a terrible record, okay? Even her own state doesn't like her. The reason why she's being talked about in this context is because she won one election in a swing state by about 8 points. And that is mildly impressive. However, this election was basically drawn up on abortion lines. And she was smart to use that as a tactic, but that tactic will not be there for her forever. So she's kind of getting overblown right now. She's got a wind-aided 100-meter time right now. And people are like, well, it ran a 9.95. Yeah, but the wind was blowing 65 miles an hour at her back. And that's kind of what's going on right now. Jill Biden is now, of course, all in. She visited 3 states in a day, assuring that her husband, Joe, is also all in. Of course, she's the biggest factor as to why he's staying in the race. Other than his own ambition. I mean, number one, and again, I say this over and over again, people don't believe me. Yes, he's incoherent, but damn, he wants this job. Damn, he loves this power. And he's not going to give it up unless somebody really comes at him and hits him over the head. People have said this. I could be wrong on this. Maybe I misunderstand this relationship. But I have read multiple books about this era and the behind-the-scenes dynamics between these two. I don't think Barack Obama telling him to step down is enough either. I think it would have to be he would have to be convinced. And the only way he is going to be convinced is not by Barack Obama, who has continually looked down on Biden. He's told him not to run. He said maybe it's not a great idea. He only picked him because he was white and old. All these things have been come out in reporting over the years. And while I think they remain friendly generally, I don't think Joe Biden is looking to Barack Obama for advice. I think what he looks at Barack Obama as is a guy who wants to protect Barack Obama's legacy. And, I don't think he's always looking out for the best things for Jolton Joe Biden. John Stewart has called for Biden to drop out. John Stewart on calls for Biden to drop out. I am in no way saying he should. This is the phrase that's being promoted all over the internet today. I happen to watch this segment. I'm not a John Stewart fan. You know, this monologue had its moments. You know, he can be funny, of course, at times, but I'm not like a guy who tunes into The Daily Show because I really want to hear what he says. In this case, I kind of did to see which side of this he would come down on. I will say, taking the phrase, I am in no way saying he should drop out of that monologue is really misleading. It was incredibly negative on Joe Biden and his prospects. It also bashed Trump and did a bunch of other things. And at the end, he sort of gave the qualifier like, look, I'm not saying he should drop out, but like we should have some sort of process here to talk about this and maybe have a primary. that's not somebody who's super supportive. He was highly skeptical of Joe Biden's ability to go forward, and that really was the takeaway of that. I don't know why that spin is the one that's coming out. And finally, late night hosts tackle Biden debate fallout. I don't know what the right thing to do here, says Stephen Colbert. I mean, no one was asking you what the right thing, no one thought you'd have the answer, Stephen Colbert. There was never a moment where people were like, America's like, oh my God, I got to know what Stephen thinks. No one was thinking that. Colbert did say, should he stay or should he go? Who am I to recommend? I don't know what's going on in Joe Biden's mind. Something I apparently have in common with Joe Biden. Again, they've totally turned on this guy. I wish Saturday Night Live was in effect right now to see what they would do. Would they also, they've chickened out for 3.5 years after going after this guy. Chickened out for 3.5 years. Will they now that the dam is broke, will they finally take the shots they should have been taking since the day he was in office? That will be a fascinating thing to watch as we come back. Also want to remind you, we're doing these live broadcasts on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. As these big events happen, maybe the VP situation for Trump, if that gets named, we just go live on YouTube and we talk about it. We break it down for you, give you all the analysis and answer your questions. We've been doing it a lot lately. Something I think you're really going to enjoy to get actual perspective as we get into the media, the election season. The media is not going to give it to you. You're going to get a lot of frankly, you're also going to get a lot of just like pro MAGA spin that, you know, might be right sometimes, but also sometimes just as doing teams. I don't do that. I'd rather just give you the information as I see it, and you can kind of pick it apart on your own. But bottom line is go to youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. Sign up, follow the page. It's obviously free. And then you'll also get a little click on the bell for notifications, so you'll know when we do these live broadcasts. I think you're really going to enjoy them. It's youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We're joined by Josh Jennings. He's next. I've been telling you about Gen 90 for a while. This is the latest breakthrough in skincare from our friends at Genucell. Did you know that it works on those annoying bags and puffiness under your eyes instantly? You can instantly reduce the appearance of looking older anywhere you use it, around the eyes, forehead, crow's feet, laugh lines, really anywhere, even the chin. Don't worry about your skin. Don't worry about your confidence. You can just knock this out with Gen 90 technology. It's a luxurious, paraben-free product, silky smooth, the best of all. It starts working in seconds. You don't have to wait. And now you can get Genucell's classic under-eye bags and puffiness serum with every Gen 90 order, along with their luxurious Genucell XV Collagen Builder Moisturizer with vitamin C and hyaluronic acid in a pure natural base. This is stunning results day after day after day. If you don't believe me, just try it. Just go try it. Genucell.com. Right now, you get an incredible package, over 50% off during Genucell's spring sale. Results are guaranteed or your money back. You're going to like it, or you get your money back. It's nice and easy. Genucell.com/Stu. Genucell.com/Stu. You can order right now. Get a free limited edition spa box with bonus gifts and free shipping. Genucell.com/Stu. Genucell.com/Stu.
Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
I want to bring in Josh Jennings to the program. He's a staff writer for Blaze Media and official Stu Does America Power Hour Survivor, which there's only a few of those.
This is true, yeah.
Thank God there's no more scheduled because I'm old.
You know what? I got at least one more in me.
Really?
At least one more.
It looked like, was it this morning? Is that when you did it? Okay. Because I'm just noticing. No. I do feel like I'm a little old for a power hour, sure. I will say. And I don't feel as old as Joe Biden does. I've been watching.
You do.
A few do. I watched, we were doing the coverage of the debate that night. And I was watching it back. Someone sent me, the moment where our debate coverage started. And I don't know how many words I said, but I was on camera for about 30 seconds and said about 6 words. So my mouth was just hanging over, over my knees.
That's exactly what happened with Joe Biden.
Right. It was very, very similar. It was one of the most incredible things. You've been watching politics a long time. Oh, yeah. This is one of the most incredible things I've ever experienced.
Listen. Yeah, you can say that all you want. but I want you to know, like, Bo Biden didn't die face down in the muck in Afghanistan killing bin Laden so that you could sit here and talk crap about his pops, okay? Yeah, it was insane.
It was. I mean, by the way, you bring up the fact that he continually says his son was died in Iraq. He just said it again. Again, he's saying he died of cancer.
Right.
It's a really, really tragic situation.
And maybe the cancer, it could be linked to his time, which is, I think, when he's a little more cogent, that's what he usually says.
That's his new spin on it. Yeah.
It was the result of him, you know, being near burn pits or something like that. Could be. But that's not what you say half the time, Joe Biden.
Right. That was the big problem, because you watch this and you watch the PR response to it. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, it's his decision. Like, I mean, you can have everyone can come out and say he needs to leave. It's really up to him. But when you look at the PR response, you realize it's not just that they couldn't come up with the right response or couldn't say, hey, like, why don't you do this show and this show and this show? It's that he's incapable of doing these things.
Yeah. And you got to wonder, too. I mean, how long has this been? We've known forever. We've known since he took office the first time, at the beginning of this term. We've known since before then that he was slipping. They all have known that as well. How long has everybody known? I mean, it's weird to me to see first of all, you see the media going, what?
Yeah.
He's slipping? We didn't know. That's obviously a lie.
Right.
But there are people who out in the world who genuinely seem to be shocked.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Because they weren't listening to us. They were listening to the media this whole time, who played it off. I know smart people. We're mutual friends with smart people who did not see it, really, I don't think, fully until this debate.
Really?
Yes.
God, that's fascinating, because I have a friend who is conservative, and he would tell me from time to time, you know, yeah, Biden's old, but, like, this stuff's overblown. Conservatives, you know, he almost went down, like, the cheap fakes angle, right, where he's like, you know, like, sometimes some of these videos are just, like, ridiculous. He just takes a couple steps the wrong direction. He can't be that bad. And he actually, I was talking to him the other day, he's like, actually, is that bad?
Yeah.
Like, it really, I think there was some success from the media and the campaign's efforts to try to tell people, you know, these are crazy right wingers, don't believe their conspiracy theories, but you can't hide it when it's pounding you in the face like that.
Yeah, and to be fair, I think there have been plenty of instances. I've seen instances where there'll be a video of him stumbling over something, and I'll look at it and I'll think, okay, yeah, you could chalk that up to him having a lifelong stutter. You could chalk that up to him just stumbling over words. We all do it. There have been those moments, but those are very separate from the rest of the moments. And that's the thing that you know, my friend, who's not a conservative, but is sort of in the middle, was saying for years, I feel like that's something the conservatives are, they're blowing it out of proportion.
Right.
And from time to time, I think conservatives have blown it out of proportion with specific instances. But they're doing that because they see the broader picture, the aggregate of all of these times where it's so obvious. And now, cat's completely out of the bag.
How do you view his family in all of this? I mean, they want him to stay in the race, that's for sure.
I think ironically, you know, because the person who's most likely to take his job away is black, I think Jill and Hunter are probably marching around the Oval Office going, we will not be replaced.
White replacement theory? That's amazing. They've gone right to Charlottesville.
What can I say that's new? The concept of elder abuse here seems pretty obvious. Jill Biden seems to be pulling a Edith Wilson.
Yeah. Again, you, as part of the Glenn Beck Network, you must bring up Woodrow Wilson and his wife at least once per appearance. Yep. I know that's a fact, part of your contract.
Most people don't know this, but when you walk into the studios, there is a portrait of Woodrow Wilson that you are required to spit on. But seriously, I mean...
Do you think is it denial, or is it? Do they know this is happening, and they're just like, I don't care, we have to attach ourselves to power?
I think for him it might be denial, based on the way that he talks. I think for them it's just claws in the dirt, trying to keep away from the cliff for just a little bit longer. I mean, it's hard to say. I don't know them personally, but there's just no rationale for it that makes sense. I mean, The what's baked into the cake already, if he were to leave today, is he's going to leave with way more of a legacy of being a good president than he actually deserves.
Yes. Yes. This is the part that's pissing me off more than anything.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been great for 3.5 years. One bad night. No, he's been terrible.
I love the best one I've seen. There's a meme floating around. It's something like, I'll take a truth teller who speaks a little more slowly than a guy who lies, right and left. And I'm like, all right, you have the last part correct. What?
Right. I mean, people forget, the guy's approval rating before the debate was 37%.
Yeah.
You don't get that from being some amazing president.
Right. Also, he's run for president multiple times. And the first time, he got shellacked. I mean, he got driven out of the race because he lied his butt off about everything, about stupid things, things you didn't need to lie about.
Yeah.
I mean, he told people he'd graduated at the top of his class and he graduated at the bottom of his class. Just say I graduated.
Right.
He said he had 3 degrees. He had 1 degree, apparently barely. Mm-hmm. And he plagiarized, his speeches, and he got caught doing that. And I don't know. It's insane to me that anybody's going to see him as having a good legacy, but they will. Mm-hmm. There will be that if he steps down now. So at this point, if whoever's pulling the strings and directing him, which it seems like is Jill and Hunter, they've got to be looking at this like, I mean, Hunter's probably trying to stay out of prison.
Yeah.
Jill seems like she's just trying to stay in power.
Sad.
It's very sad. It's very corrupt. And I mean, I will say, I figured out that there's a silver lining to all of this. And that is, based on the way that things are going in America right now, with the age of the people that we're electing, when the robots finally take over, America will be run by like Windows 95, so we'll be okay.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. No problems with that whatsoever. No. It does seem like Biden is constantly in a state of rebooting.
Yeah.
Right?
Blue like screen of death is.
Yeah.
That's the Biden presidency.
All right, we got about a minute left. Because I one thing I think we say all the time, I even have it on my, this is my prep for the interview with Josh, and it just says Biden / old. Thank you. That's not exactly right. Because we had Alan Dershowitz on a lot. He's 84. Sure. Yeah. He doesn't sound anything like Joe Biden. It's not that he's old. It's that there's something seriously going on here.
I would say we should have an age cap. Not that there aren't people in their 80s who are capable of leading the country, but we should have an age cap for two reasons. One, that's not most of them.
Yeah.
Most people in their 80s are not, they're not there. It's sundown time.
Not at that level.
Go retire and relax. And two, even if you're an Alan Dershowitz and you've got all of your wits about you, you could die at any moment,
Yeah.
I mean, that's just life. That's just the reality. Give me a 65-year-old age cap and I'll be happy.
A youngster like 65? I mean, geez.
They're a little inexperienced,
Gen Z?
But they'll work their way up through the job.
It's amazing now. We're like youthful. 65.
Hale and healthy.
That is where we are. It's incredible. Josh Jennings, Blaze, media staff writer. Josh, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me. Anytime.
Let me tell you about Constitution Wealth. This is the Patriot's choice in wealth management, because if you avoid shopping at certain businesses, I've been showing Star Wars to my daughter. These are movies I bought years ago, and she's never watched them before. And it's been fun to go through them. I don't want to pay Disney another dime, though. Like, I can't stand them right now. What they've done is they've totally turned me around against this franchise that I loved my entire life. Doing that with a Disney Plus membership is one thing. Doing that with your retirement is another. We're talking about maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars you have invested, and they're going maybe to companies that you don't agree with. Constitution Wealth can turn that around for you. They can help you build a solid investment plan because, you still need to retire someday. You still need the good returns. But you can reduce your investments in these like woke companies you want to avoid. You can help fight the culture war with your most powerful weapon, your money and your voice. You can build the parallel economy. You can avoid DEI and all that other nonsense. And you can work with someone who agrees with your conservative patriotic values. Why would you want to work with anyone else? Go to constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Constitutionwealth.com/blaze. Get a free consultation today. Sign up now. constitutionwealth.com/blaze.
Achtung, es folgt eine wichtige Botschaft Ihres Mobilfunkanbieters.
Ey Mann, es gibt Leute, die drücken immer noch zu viel Knitter ab.
Nein, nicht frisch.
Barra ist ja irgendwie smarter.
Ja, smart.
50 GB für nur 8,99.
Wenig Knete.
Ich zahle doch nicht mehr für weniger.
Nee, das wäre auch schön blöd. Barra, deine Knete, deine Entscheidung.
Nice.
Alle Details zu unseren Tarifen finden Sie unter lebara.de.
Attorneys for Hunter Biden on Tuesday withdrew their bid for a new trial in his federal gun case, conceding in court papers that a motion they filed last month misunderstood a technicality in the district court's capacity to carry out a trial. Hunter Biden's legal team had argued in a filing last month that his convictions should be vacated because trial commenced before a circuit court formally issued a mandate denying one of his many pretrial appeals. An argument disputing not the merits of the case, but the mechanics of the trial. Special counsel David Weiss, who brought the charges, said Hunter Biden basically just, you know, had a meritless attempt here, and he did not understand what the heck was going on. And that's a shocking thing, because, like, when you have a crack addict, you expect them to be really on the ball. And for some reason, this guy, as he's, like, you know, sliding hookers in and out of his bedroom, was unable to really focus on what the proper challenge was in this particular legal matter. And while that's surprising, maybe we shouldn't be all that blown away by it. I will say that, like, there, more of this is coming, and this is, of course, Hunter's the big voice behind the scenes telling Joe Biden to stay in the race. And you can kind of see, like, maybe he has some side ideas as to why he might want the president of the United States to be his dad, considering everything he's going through right now. By the way, you can see this at youtube.com/studosamerica and share it with your friends. But we've looked behind the scenes and done a deep dive into the private writings between Hunter Biden and his father. And honestly, we've learned some really important things over the past couple of months. Here's the latest edition of Letters from Biden.
The following correspondence took place between President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. and his son, Robert Hunter Biden, in the years preceding 2023.
To my brilliant and inquisitive father, it is with a heavy heart that I must confess to another lapse in judgment that mayhaps cause further embarrassment upon our proud family. While in the act of exercising my rights under the Second Amendment of the Constitution of these United States, it appears I violated several restrictions imposed upon me due to previous misdeeds. But fear not, I have stashed the aforementioned weapon, along with a goodly amount of my leftover baking powder, in the lobby of your White House residence. I shall retrieve them for ultimate disposal post-haste. Also, you have 13 other grandchildren I forgot to tell you about. In some ways, my gun is always loaded. Forever your favorite son, Hunter. P.S. I wish to thank you for your recommendation that I, as an infant, receive the traditional surgical modification so prevalent among our Jewish brethren. It photographs much better than the cumbersome alternative. To my well-intentioned and well-endowed son, I was not able to recall the Second Amendment you spoke of from memory, but having reviewed the text in my archives, I have decided that I will be getting rid of it entirely. In addition, I look forward to never meeting and denying the existence of all my new grandchildren. May God bless you and our troops. Joe. P.S. I thought I had spied my old chap, the good Mr. Cornpop, in the White House atrium yesterday. Alas, it was revealed only to be a coat rack. It was an embarrassing revelation, particularly after a 20-minute conversation had passed. To my loving father, I am terribly sorry for all of the sour times my mischief and follies have brought upon our surname. Oftentimes I cast my eyes back to those bygone times with deep longing, whence we would go into the backyard and toss the baseball to and fro, or when I was paid $400,000 a month by a brutal tyrant to consult for a company in a field in which I had no expertise, or simply when I was banging my dead brother's wife. The good old days. Please do soon plan a visit. Please don't bring Kamala. in enduring admiration and everlasting hope to avoid incarceration. Hunter. P.S. If you do plan on visiting, send a telegram to alert me of your arrival date so that I may tidy up. This entire place is literally sopping wet with bodily fluids. Additional correspondence between Joe and Hunter Biden was uncovered, but quickly confiscated and destroyed by agents of the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
So the University of Utah has a drug information service, and they kind of just try to figure out, well, what drugs are in shortage around the country. And just recently, we had an all-time high of 323. This is the first quarter of this year. There are 48 new shortages recorded just this year through the month of March. We're facing a pretty serious situation with our medical system. It doesn't seem to work really anymore at all. Thank you, Obamacare. But there is something you can do to ensure that you and all of your loved ones have medication on hand when it's needed. It's a solution that thousands of people have already discovered. It's called the Jace Case. And you can go there, you can check out the Jace Case and stock up on medication now so you're prepared for the worst. The Jace Case is a personalized emergency kit that contains essential antibiotics and medications that treat the most common and deadly bacterial infections. It provides 5 life-saving antibiotics for emergency use. Just fill out a form online and you'll have it in case you need it. There are add-on options too, like EpiPens and ivermectin. Jace Medical encourages you to take your family's health into your own hands. Isn't that the most important thing? Making sure that you control it, not the government? Jace.com, J-A-S-E.com. Enter the code STU at checkout for a discount on your order. Promo code is STU at Jace.com, J-A-S-E.com. It's the Jace Case from Jace Medical. I'm joined once again by comedian Jamie Kilstein. He's the host of Jamie Kilstein's Anti-Political Political Show and co-host of Trauma Bonding with Jamie and Alex. Be sure to subscribe to both wherever you get your podcasts. Really, really great listens. Jamie, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thank you. I haven't had a wildly successful podcast yet, but I'm very good at titles. I'm like watching that. I'm like, That says it all.
I will say that's a whole industry. They're just titling people's podcasts.
I think do that.
You should open up a new company.
Yeah, this is good. You like those podcasts are done. Yeah. I'm opening. Now I need a title for my podcast title company, and then we're good.
Take people through, just catch people up with who you are if they don't know you, because I joined like the Netflix series, The Life of Jamie Kilstein, in like season 2.
Yeah.
I binged a bunch.
Sure.
You can bring people up to
season 4 and 5 were rough.
Holy crap.
They're bad. They're not good. I feel like I've given the story a bunch on the show and network. So like maybe the new happier version is, and this is kind of what the podcasts are. I don't fit into a box, which is bad when it comes to marketing yourself for an algorithm, right? You either have to be extremely on the left, extremely on the right, extremely Christian, extremely atheist, extremely vegan, extremely carnivore, whatever it is.
Right.
And the more I meet people, especially, I used to be very liberal, very elitist, had Glenn Beck calling me a doofus on my resume, and didn't have any conservative friends, moved to Texas, you know, teach jujitsu with Tim Kennedy, friends with all of you guys. And I'm still in the middle. And I think there are a lot of people who maybe they wouldn't consider themselves in the middle because the Democrats are so corrupt or because they hate Trump so much or whatever. But I think when it comes to people, whether it's people trying to figure out who they are when it comes to politics or their relationship with God, it's a lot harder to put most people into a box than the social media algorithm would have you think. And I think that like the more I meet people at comedy shows or music events or jujitsu, you realize that a lot of the people that you've been demonizing are actually just decent, and maybe they grew up differently than you, and maybe they're just trying to figure things out. And most people don't admit when they don't know things. So like Trauma Bonding, we talk a lot about faith because I'm a new Christian, and
it's season 6 of the show,
season
right?
Yeah, six, okay. Was the Christian turn. We got moved to the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
But it's hard. We were talking about this on Glenn's show with you guys today. Like, it's hard, and I'm struggling, and it's like the idea that I would go from a liberal to suddenly just being cocky and trying to be, I'm a Christian influencer now.
Yeah.
Me and my Christian wife, and we didn't touch each other until we got married. Like, that would be insane. I would so much rather not be able to fit into a box, probably make less money, and be like, here are the questions I still have. Here's where I'm struggling. Like, the first episode was all about a faith crisis I had. I'm still in it. Mm. And even today, after I went on Glenn's show and this show, you know, I tweeted about Hunter Biden, but I had something a little more liberal I was going to tweet. And I'm like, but I got all these new followers from Glenn's. It's like, no, you can't censor how you feel. And I think the more people are authentic, the more we'll actually be able to find commonality, even if we disagree. And you can disagree. That's fine.
I think, too, like, you listen to some, and this happens with every genre. I don't mean to beat up on Christian influencers.
Yeah, please.
Many of them are just fantastic people. But, like, they also are almost too fantastic. Like, they're definitely better than me. They're all awesome. They all have these great lives. They are all perfect. They seem to know everything. Like,
but
you, for lack of a better description, you don't have those issues. You've gone through all sorts of crap in your life.
Sure. Yeah, I've never had abs. I've never had abs. I feel like that. When I first walked into church and I was single, I felt like suddenly there were like no single people. I felt like a creep on a playground. It was just these like gorgeous white couples who had like five kids named Madison, and they just got back from like their pumpkin patch like photo shoot or whatever. And I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. But I think that's good, right? That's who Jesus went after, was kind of the misfits. And I've gotten crap from, well, first of all, a lot of those influencers we've seen are not as perfect as you think, right? Mm-hmm. Or they struggle. But also, you know, when I get crap for cursing or for, you know, I said the other day on Instagram that, like, oh, I read a Buddhist book, and people are like, Jesus is a jealous God. And it's like, I don't want to pretend that I have it all figured out. And I think a lot of times influencers in any category, they have to pretend to be sort of infallible and I have the answers. And like, I don't. And there's going to be a lot of stuff I'm wrong about. And there's going to be some stuff I'm right about. And I think that that's like a really healthy place to be. And my hope is, so many people have been burnt by the church or were raised by, you know, emotionally abusive parents or pastors, and just everything you're doing, you're going to go to hell. You know, I want to be a sort of like, let me be a gateway drug to Jesus, essentially. Right.
That's great. That's a great thing, though. It's really needed.
I think so. And to me, the people who would give me grief, or, you know, Russell Brand or someone like that, it's just like, you're missing the point. You know, the Pharisees who Jesus flipped the tables at, they were the ones who would not bend the rules. And those weren't the ones that Jesus wanted to hang out with. Jesus was hanging out with like the screw ups. Not now. With that said, I still hold myself to a higher standard now that I am Christian. Like, I'm not just gonna be like, well, I'm a screw up forever, so like, I guess I can like cheat on my wife because King David did, or I guess I can do this. Like, I am just like desperately clawing every day to be a better person. So it's not an excuse, but I'm like, I wasn't raised in the church. I can't quote the Bible very well. And hopefully that makes people feel like, oh, maybe there are Christians who, I want to lead by example, right? And I would rather someone go, oh, that dude's Christian. Like, he's really nice, or he's really funny, or he helped me at the jiu-jitsu gym, or like, oh, he seemed open. He's kind of still liberal, but he went on Stu's show. Like, I would rather them go, that makes sense, he's Christian, then go like, geez, okay, we get it, you're Christian.
Right.
Because I made that mistake with politics before, mm-hmm. and I don't want to do that either. And again, it's frustrating because I would make a lot more money if I just dove in headfirst with that. But you know, there's got to be a season 7, man. I gotta keep you on your toes.
Right. So tell me about the podcast you're doing with your wife. This is an interesting project because as I think about it, it's like, it's got to leave you in a really vulnerable place, right?
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about, trauma bonding is the name of the title, the name of the show. You're talking about this with your wife. How long have you been married?
Only a couple months.
A couple months?
Yeah.
Do you know what you're jumping into?
Yeah, so if you're in Austin and you get married, you have to legally have a podcast within, I think it's 2 to 3 months.
Is that right? Yeah. That makes sense.
You have to, yeah.
That's city law.
We even have a segment called Alex and Jamie's fight of the week. And it's like, dude, it's so cathartic. Yeah. Because, you know, it's our first year of marriage. She was a lifelong Christian, but has like a lot of baggage from it. I'm a new Christian. We got married very fast. It's great. It's great because I
feel totally different for you though. This is different than anything you've done in your life.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure. But to me, a lot of the relationships I've been in that have exploded, they started off, you know, a lot of people when they get in relationships, they sort of hide who they really are, whether it's on purpose or by accident. It's the greatest hits, right? I mean, God.
That's an interesting way of talking about it. Like, what do you mean by that, the greatest hits?
Well, you go on your first date and you're like, here's all the good stuff.
Here's all my great stories.
Yeah.
Here's my hilarious tales.
I feel like it was like a couple, like a month before she even knew I knew Robin Williams. Like, I didn't tell her the cool stories. First date was like, and then the second time I tried to kill myself. Like, it was like.
If she stuck through that, though.
Kind of. Yeah. It's sort of like, hey, this is it. Yeah. Like, how do you feel about it? And so with the podcast, it's almost like forcing communication. But also you're doing it in this really lighthearted way. Because when you're on a podcast, especially as like a comedian, and I consider her a comedian, she's so funny. It's like, we're not going to get passive aggressive and start bickering. Like, we've worked through the fight already. So then what's funny is that there have been, I've been like coming up with the fight of the week. And there are times where I'm like, oh, that time she was, you know, she was a whatever. She screwed up, but I'm going to look good on this. And then as I'm talking about it, I'm like, oh, I did that. And because I'm a comic and I have a microphone in front of me and I really like do want to be on, it makes me actually take more responsibility because no one wants to sit around and hear like a guy be mean to his wife on a podcast.
Right.
Like
right.
That sounds like a weird audience.
Yeah.
But me realizing like, oh, I was wrong. And then getting to make fun of myself, I think, I don't know, maybe it'll teach couples how to communicate better or use humor to do it. But it takes lack of ego for both of us. And so we want to take mental health and we want to take faith and make it sort of as non-preachy as possible. Like, we give advice. I think the advice is very good, but it's also like you're sitting around with your friends and you can actually vent about your issues without fear of judgment, because chances are like I've done worse,
right?
You know,
right.
And that's the goal of that show.
Give me, we got about a minute and a half left here. The anti-political show is your other show. I thought it was interesting a day like today. You have the Hunter Biden verdict.
Yeah, right?
Like you've gone through these addiction issues.
Yeah.
He's got more than that going on.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to that?
You know, I mean, it was funny. It was a real where were you moment because I was with you and Glenn when the news broke.
Strange turn in your life.
It's interesting because my instinct is always to, this is from my liberal days, to mock the powerful, right? Where you go, oh, he's just like this like Nepo baby screw up. He like could get away with whatever he wanted. And, you know, I do believe that. I think that like there's a certain amount of power you have and you can get away with stuff that like I couldn't get away with, or like a young black kid couldn't get away with, or whatever.
There's a little succession son.
Totally, just like way less likable. And but then at the same time, like Jesus Jamie is sort of like, well, what I used to do was just attack people like that so I could feel better about myself. And so now I can go, I mean, the dude needs to be held accountable.
Right.
He clearly had many chances, did not learn his lesson. And you can pray for someone or wish the best for someone just because his dad is like some dorky politician you hate. You know, addiction is like crippling. Mm-hmm. And while I don't want to defend someone for being like so privileged, there's also like, there's a real dark side to that where you're that powerful. I've been around people who are that famous and have addiction, and they're surrounded by agents and hanger-ons and all these people, and they're just enabling. So you don't know, you know, the dark stuff he went through or who's around him, and that is not to defend him. Like, wouldn't want to be friends with that guy. And I think it's okay to say, I also hope he is okay.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's the right way to handle it, I think. I mean, because you don't just blow it off. He doesn't get, he needs to be held accountable for what he did.
Yeah, well, and especially because of the power, because of the hypocrisy, because of the way, I mean, even seeing people on the left who were just trashing Trump last week for his conviction get so mad if anyone trashes Hunter Biden.
Right.
And you go, you can't just be this like vindictive, no forgiveness person when it's when it's not your team.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're against cancel culture or you're like, be cool to everybody.
Yeah. All right. Let me pitch the podcast one more time. You've got the anti-political show. You've got Trauma Bonding with Alex and Jamie.
Yeah. And you can go to jamiekilsteinpodcast.com and they're the direct, because right now it's just on YouTube. So jamiekilsteinpodcast.com or my social media, and then the links will be there.
Yeah. Go there and subscribe. Really, really funny and interesting stuff. Jamie, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it.